Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh my god. Oh my god! We thought we were ready. We thought we were ready for Blood Week. We thought we were ready. No! No! This is Blood Week.
Hey, hey, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay. All right. Imagine
oh, we're falling for this again.
No. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. You're in your hammock, Spencer. Do you feel the soft swaying side to side?
I do.
You feel that?
Yeah.
It's the perfect temperature outside.
Where am I?
Top. You love your tank top. Okay.
I do.
Jason, you're
we're in the same hammock
right next to me.
You're in the same hammock. But somehow it fits you both, and it's super comfortable. Holly, you're
both
nowhere near this scene.
So we can both tank tops, so we can see Jason's new tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's just perfect.
Wait, why am I playing along here? This feels like a trap.
No, Holly, you're not involved in this because I wouldn't do that to you. You're somewhere else entirely.
I don't want to. That sounds great.
Spencer and I are wearing matching tank tops. Are we a basketball team, a wrestling tag team? Why? What's going on?
No, just one of those coinkydinks. Just a good day with good friends. Then you reach down into your cooler where you've got beverages of your choice, but all of a sudden, look at that. It's not a Barks root beer. It's not an IBC. It's a spleen.
Barks sucks. So it's...
Not really.
The bite is so really hard. Focused.
Barks is great.
Barks
doesn't matter. Just you open up the IBC and look, oh, it's not root beer at all. It's blood. All of it's blood. It's blood week, guys.
This sounds like my fantasy.
Yeah, no, that's delicious.
I want a spleen.
Yeah.
Where, how come I'm not in the spleen hammock?
I'm still going with this.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Wait, now I want in.
Holly, you're in.
A good improv partner always says yes, Ryan. I'm saying yes. The blood's awesome. Let's go.
Spleen.
Holly, you're hang gliding over a beautiful valley, and you see rabbits galloping in front of you. You think, boy, they're beautiful, but it turns out they're also just spleens. Just galloping along.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yep. Legged spleens.
Legged spleens.
Rabbits bound. They don't gallop. They bound.
You got a lot of fucking edits today, Jason. All right.
It's my job.
I'm not the one who bet on Notre Dame and win against everything the podcast stands for.
That was an investment because, like how Santa
spoken like a know, Notre Dame fan facing a bailout.
Mm-hmm. Like how Santa can only fly when we believe in him. I'll cite the
no, that's Captain the, Hook.
The films Elf and Captain Hook.
Wait,
yeah.
No.
Notre Dame can only lose when we believe in it.
Wait, no, that's Wizards.
So
I will say this. That Pitt Notre Dame.
Wait, I want the resolution of the hammock scene.
Oh, it's Blood Week.
That's Jason and I are just
it was just a slow build up to chilled. Blood Week, but then I was getting so many edits and complaints that I couldn't lull everybody into a sense of
Ryan,
calm. Okay.
I liked it.
You know what? Like, thank you, Holly.
So what shows. Happened? What happened was Spencer and I were nestled tightly, snugly together in a hammock,
and then you started bitching about the root beer selection, even though it was blood.
With our bare arms pressed up against each other, and we went for a cold drink, but none were to be had. So we drank warm blood, and here comes a stampede of bunny rabbits as Holly went soaring overhead.
This just sounds
No, I'm nowhere near y'all.
Yeah, this just sounds like nothing but gains, because blood and rabbit meat, I'm only going to get bigger.
Yeah.
And then we'll need a bigger hammock.
Then we'll need a bigger hammock.
I might actually be describing an LSU tailgate now that I think about it.
Can I just say that Pit Mega Weapon 128.0, we need to make some modifications on the Pit Mega Weapon.
Wrong.
I thought we had it right at 127.0. Turns out that one blew up in the lab. This one was going just fine, and then there was some sort of weird power outage.
You've got the wrong perspective on this, okay?
Is this retribution for making fun of SpaceX? Because I don't intend to stop making fun of SpaceX.
You shouldn't have to. Absolutely not. All I'm saying is America's land built on free thought and freedom from repression, right?
I thought you were going to say freedom from thought.
Sometimes that too. So nobody can tell you you have to believe in global warming or evolution or, you know, taxes. Nobody can tell you have to believe. So why should we believe that Notre Dame won this game? It is my right as an American to say with conviction that you have to respect that Pitt won. And so I do. Pitt beat Notre Dame.
Can I tell you that I watched the Tennessee-Auburn game today, and for most of the game, including... I still feel uncomfortable about the game.
You don't have to. You can say Auburn won if you want.
Oh, God, it feels so much better. Thank you.
Great.
That would be better for Ryan's finances.
No, I needed Auburn to win by a decent amount. So I'm happy saying that Auburn won, but not by enough, and Spencer still gets the chicken bet.
Ah, cool.
Auburn, yeah, and by the way, I was right. I was right!
This makes up for that time when I said that if y'all wore orange pants, you were going to lose to Ole Miss, and you told me to shut the fuck up, and what'd you do?
We lost to Ole Miss.
That was great.
Yeah, you're right,
It's
though.
Funnier when bets go your way, you're right.
It's much funnier this when they go funnier. My way!
It's much funnier.
Because Ryan has to buy me chicken because I thought that Tennessee would beat Auburn, because Auburn is sick. I will say it again and again.
I'm not sure that I accept it.
Auburn está enfermo.
The whole bet was Tennessee will lose to Auburn by fewer than two touchdowns. But then they fucked around and won.
That's right.
And why did that happen? Because this was motherfucking blood week.
Blood week.
Oh man, so many losses, so many spectacular upsets, so much carnage. So much damage.
But do you know what really makes Blood Week great? That it can always be worse.
It could have been so much goddamn worse.
How could this have been worse?
Can I run you through the list real quick?
Please.
All right. USF needed three scoring drives in the last 12 minutes of their game against 1-4 Tulsa to win by 1 point.
That was great.
Minnesota was down 6 late in the third and missed the 32-yard field goal, and that game stopped being interesting. Baylor was inside the Texas 20 on their last drive, down 6. UCF was down by 13 late in the third quarter to Memphis. Florida was down 21-3 to Vandy midway through the second quarter. These are my two favorite. I can't decide which one is better, so I'm going to just go with one, and then you can tell me. Northwestern needed a 99-yard touchdown drive with 2 minutes left to take Nebraska to overtime and win. And yes, losing to Nebraska in 2018 counts as part of Blood Week.
Scott Frost Day, too.
On Scott Frost. You know, happy Scott Frost Day, everybody, first of all. Sorry, I should have led with that.
Scott Frost Day at Northwestern is kind of weird, but we're going with it. I mean, they wanted to have it.
But here's my favorite almost blood game. UNC was up 5. They had first and goal at the Virginia Tech 1 with 6 minutes to play. On that play, they fumbled in a comedic fashion. Virginia Tech got the ball back, converted 3rd and 14 and a 4th and 9 to score, and on their way to scoring the game-winning touchdown.
I found that game to be profoundly upsetting.
It was not great. The Northwestern and the UNC... the Northwestern win and the Virginia Tech win are two of the most like, ah, y'all really wanted to be part of Blood Week, but you just didn't have the courage to see it through. How dare you? Also, Duke and Georgia Tech got into a huge fight.
I spent most of Saturday at my niece's sixth birthday party at the Georgia Aquarium, where by family-wide acclaim, we decided not to watch the Tennessee-Auburn game. And there were so many salty dads in Georgia Tech gear who you could tell were fulfilling the second half of a day-long pact by, like, I saw a lot of solo Georgia Tech dads with kids. And I hope those mothers were having a beautiful afternoon wherever they were, because, man, the dads were mad.
How many games had fights? Like, before we just get to the upsets, I saw at least three games that had fights.
How many games had coach fights?
Yeah, see, they were, I mean, Florida Vandy had a coach, had a dang old coach fight.
That's just Blood Week, man. Blood Week just gets everybody all riled up. You can't blame anybody for fighting on Blood Week.
No, there was one in the Ole Miss Arkansas game. Again, my favorite game of the week.
Didn't somebody get tossed from that
An
game
Ole
on
Miss
a kneel down play?
Did with 29 seconds to go.
Yeah,
in the Arkansas,
somebody
like in the middle of a kneel down.
Somebody got booted on a kneel down play. Like,
my favorite thing is in that game, Ole Miss scored to take the lead with like 30 seconds left or whatever it was. Got to stop whatever the case may have been. And everyone immediately said, uh-oh, a lot of time left. A lot can still happen. And they were right!
Yeah, because at that point there was a game-killing interception. And the action still wasn't over. After the game was over, someone got thrown out. That's amazing. You got thrown. You almost made it, dude. You almost made it through the whole party. Well, it's been great, and screw you!
Meanwhile, Florida couldn't even make it to the reception without causing a scene. Jesus.
No,
we didn't even get to the vows. We were just like in the middle of the processional. Just, yeah, ooh, I'm going to take my pants off. Let's go.
So,
hey, speaking of vows.
So the setup to this, there was I believe it was in the early third quarter. There was a kickoff return and a heinous. It completely, like, there's no. For anyone listening to this who thinks I might go, I don't know about that hit that caused the whole brawl. Nope. Should have. No.
That's real bad.
Reasonable assault charges filed. A completely illegal, dirty hit. Deserved to be booted out. But it caused a bit of a fracas when I think Derek Mason came out to check on the player. He said something to Dan Mullen. Mullen jawed back from the sidelines. Then they both really began getting into it. And then Vandy, as if they were not, like, already stay ready enough for this game, rolled out to midfield. Whole team.
En masse.
Whole bench, right? Rolled out as if to begin a tussling. And they were
separate. No. This is Vandy. It's a Donnybrook.
Oh, yeah. A fracas, a Donnybrook. Yeah. You want to go? They're not Canadian. But.
Somewhat, God, half of them probably are.
But they rolled out. A brawl was avoided, but there was definitely some tension between longtime friends Derek Mason and Dan Mullen. So at the end of the game, after Florida had, I don't know, overcome a 21-3 deficit.
Wait,
to
Spencer,
win the game.
We're forgetting a key player.
I am?
Yeah, where was Florida's defensive coordinator during this time? Was he helping? Was he one of Mr. Rogers' helpers that are to be looked for in a crisis?
I always ask my children when they're doing something stupid. Are you helping the situation or are you making it worse?
You better get a trank gun to stop Daniel Tiger from raging.
Yeah, that's Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator, who once the two had sort of begun to get separated, Todd Grantham then popped up from over Dan Mullen's shoulder in all his crimson glory going...
Dick in the box.
Yeah, going, hey, buddy! And got caught on TV saying fuck you like 9 times to Derek Mason over and over again.
As Jason pointed out on Twitter that day, making him, I think, probably the first coach in at least the GIF era to be caught on camera in a coach first fracas at two different schools.
Yes, but both with Vanderbilt.
Both at Vanderbilt.
Both at Vandy. Yeah. Something about Vandy
Vanderbilt.
Just something about those
bankers took his granddaddy's farm.
I hate boats.
That's not funny. Bankers should be killed.
Something about smart people really pisses off Todd Grantham. I can't put my finger on it.
Man was meant to sink in the water. Boats are a lie.
Hey, nerds. That's it. It's nerd rage, isn't it? It's just jock rage towards nerds. Hey, math guy! Vanderbilt's actually a pretty well-balanced liberal arts school. A lot of these people are just...
You know, whatever, math guy!
Whatever, nerd!
Why don't you Transformers this? What? That's not...
He gets mad at Vandy for being nerds, despite the fact that they're all football players.
You know, the apex of this is Todd Grantham taking the Vandy job.
He will. He'll just be mad at himself all the time. I hate me!
But after the game, we saw something a little bit different.
Yeah, they embraced and had a tender conversation at midfield.
One of those things where you kind of, you hug them, and there's kind of like a rigid back-pounding hug.
Yeah.
You look like you're trying to say nice things through your teeth.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure it was very tender. It probably went something, you know. I mean, it might have gone like this.
Yeah, you know, you've got an old friend at arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
Who you've just beaten the daylights out of on national TV after coughing up an 18-point lead.
Yeah.
I don't know, if I were Derek Mason, I would just say, hey, Dan, great game. I'm sorry I said those things about your mom. She's a classy lady, and I know she's had a hard year. And I hope that the doctors were able to fix her face so that it doesn't look like that so much.
And I would probably say something like, hey, Derek, I'm really sorry I said those things about your dog and how she was more attractive than any woman you were related to. They're all fine women.
Hey, fuck you, Derek.
I'm sure. Oh, hey,
Todd,
what?
Todd, we're having a conversation right now.
Fuck you, Derek.
Todd,
the adults are talking.
Todd.
Rotten hell.
Todd.
Down. A moment.
Crate.
Anyway, Dan, as I was saying,
Nashville's too cold anyway.
I'm sorry I said all that about your kids. I think you've done a great, great job raising them, with the exception of the middle one, who I think you might want to... I mean, I'm not one to say what another man's child might need. Maybe he'll be funny. He'll grow up funny.
No, that's okay, and I really respect you a lot.
Commodore means toilet in French.
Todd,
it's not even
not
true,
helping, Todd.
It's not true.
Todd. Anyway, Dan, you were saying something?
My good friend Derek. I just wanted to say also that I'm very sorry that I actually brought up the accurate number of conference wins you've had.
I killed Jay Cutler.
And we're all happy about that, Todd. And Dan, I apologize for saying that I wanted to snap your head off your body and shit down your neck. I didn't mean that.
That's fair, though. It's fair.
I didn't mean that. I know you've lost some weight recently, so I think I probably could snap you over my knee quite easily. But I wouldn't do that, Dan. Not who I am.
No, I wouldn't bring up that I've lost weight. You lost the game.
Jason Isbell sucks.
That's too far. That's too far.
Todd. Crate.
That's probably what it would go like if.
Touching. That was really moving.
Thank you.
I also, thanks to Coach Todd Grantham for agreeing to be on the full cast in that limited role.
I really wanted to go like full throated, but there are children down the hall. They do not need to be exposed to Todd Grantham right now.
No, or ever.
Yeah. I hate everyone in this room. This is a Starbucks, sir.
Get the fuck out of here.
I think Todd Grantham's ever gotten like bowed up against a player's dad on a recruiting visit.
Absolutely.
Because yes. You've always got those dads who are like, you know, I played a little.
Yeah. Did you, bitch? Just normal conversations going so wrong because he has no control over volume or intensity. That was a delight, by the way. Thank you.
About grown men threatening to stump fuck the other's empty skull.
Yeah, and then 30 minutes later being like, you know, I really love you and respect you.
Yeah, bless you.
Yeah. I greatly enjoyed Blood Week, and it's, I think, crowning achievement. If I'm wrong about this being the crowning achievement, I'm sorry, Michigan. I just don't think beating up on this particular Wisconsin team or Alex Hornibrook in a big game really matters all that much. The shocker. And it should wax on you after a couple of days.
Number 12 beating number 15 can't be the crowning achievement of Blood Week.
No, that's fine.
No.
I mean, statistically, it was us, right?
Yeah, by Vegas,
number one on my list in terms of just...
Not that that mattered.
Yes, but by...
I still don't necessarily believe or feel good about it anyway.
But if I get a 13 beating a 2, especially when the 2 was number 2 last year, and when... they haven't really had to sweat at all facing anyone this year.
How did they last year when they were ranked number two, Spencer?
Well, they ended up losing the national title game.
That's weird.
It's weird. They stayed number two.
But were there like lots and lots of Georgia fans in the house when that happened?
Their own conference before that.
There were.
Was that exactly the same story on Saturday in Blood Week? Were there like estimated 20,000 Georgia fans in Death Valley to watch that happen?
I gotta say, I was surprised because I thought Georgia was gonna wait until November 3rd, well in the thick of the playoff picture, and then trip over their own dicks against Kentucky. And they sprung it on me early.
You can do it. No reason you can't get another one in. Let's play 36.
Oh, absolutely. I just thought that I was hoping that they were going to be at a bit loftier perch before taking this particular.
Once you get to number two, why wait?
Underachieving since B school. Woo! Go Dogs.
Listen, last year their championship hopes ended because they had to face somebody who wasn't the starting quarterback for Alabama. And this year, the same thing.
Sometimes Alabama uncorks a fresh vintage of just bottled to attack below on your asses. Sometimes you let Joe Burrows scramble for half the goddamn football field. I'm sorry.
Jason, I thought your son played.
He's always had wheels.
It was beautiful. It was a great day for the Kirk family. It was like watching Brady.
I don't know why it's so surprising he's incredibly fast. I don't know why it's such a shocker he's faster than Georgia's whole defense.
That's the first time I've ever said sneakily athletic, and I didn't mean it as sarcasm or code.
Hey, but at least Jake Fromm completed 5 passes in the first half. Don't ask how many he threw. Just assume.
I like how both teams approach this game with the exact same game plan, which is just like, we're going to run. Then we're going to run. Then we're going to run. Then it's fourth down. What are we going to do? LSU. We're going to run. Georgia. We're going to have our super skinny kicker who's wearing rec specs run. And we're going to just point him directly at All-American cornerback and his All-American cornerback friend. It'll work.
And it's going to work twice.
Can I tell you, there are so many absolutely perfect, like, Coach O LSU team moments in here. So many. They did convert so many fourth downs. All right. And they converted
4 for 4, right?
4 for 4, baby. Jesus. Not quite Les Miles, but dang close on that. Ooh. Right? They went 4 for 4.
Go fourth it.
All right.
How long was that Joe Burrow run? 59?
59 yards!
And I will say this for our incredible Jason Kirk visage son of Ohio and Louisiana. In the course of that run, he never once looked astonished that it, like, you know, you never caught him looking back like, whoa, here we go. Like, he looked like he'd been there 1,000 times. Like, to have this run.
Or he blacked out 4 yards in and didn't realize what was going
on. Possible, but he was so cool about it.
Yeah, he's
an
astounding
athlete.
He
was so cool about it.
It's just good. It's just mainly good jeans.
Yeah.
Also, he wears jeans on the field.
Good jeans, good breeding, and good.
He's from Ohio. He wears jeans on the field.
And clean living.
I obviously, the most important Burrow takeaway is LSU's now 4-0 in games in which my son completes 50% or fewer of his passes.
Yeah, I saw, like, at the end of the game, he was hovering, right? He was like, right around 50%, I was like, freeze it. Miss your next pass if you have to.
You call it inefficiency. I call it extreme tithing.
He ran for 59 yards on a single play. Yes, like he owned it. But LSU, the all run, like the LSU smash offense, which is, I'm sure that's what the playbook says. LSU smash. Big monster.
The playbook says that way, and when you get to the end of the field, you just turn the playbook upside down.
Some teams have hidden yardage, and LSU has had games like that. Certainly this year, where you look up like how they win, they gain 280 yards. I think LSU what they have right now is like hidden pass attempts, because you watch them and it's like they're doing the same damn crunch, crunch, crunch thing every play, and you look up there were 30 pass attempts. He missed half of them. I don't remember any of those.
Also, I know that people thought, and I'm kind of on the fence about this. You see people even major mainstream reporters going, hey, this running back's averaging 8 yards a carry. Why don't you give him the ball more? And I go, well, if you give him the ball more, that's probably going to go down, right? Like, it'll go down substantially if it's super predictable. At the same time,
yeah, we also had major reporters saying, is it time to consider that Georgia might not be elite? That was today.
Yeah. I mean,
that happened today.
I will put it this way. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he ran for 145 on him. Nick Brossette put on, they ran for 275 on Georgia, y'all. That's not, like, can I say this with all seriousness? Because it feels really, really weird. Kentucky's going to run on them. I'm not saying they're going to
win. Now you've jinxed it.
No, this is math.
No, now they go into the Kentucky game, Matt. No, maybe they won't be.
No, I don't think
everybody goes to Kroger, Matt.
Like November 3rd. They got a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They got pushed on. They got wobbled by a team that Florida pushed around. Does that make it a little clearer to you where Georgia might actually be?
I don't know, man. I think everybody in the SEC sucks.
The cocktail
party
is
going to
be a completely new kind of stupid.
That's a fair.
The Rubber Chicken's Twitter account, the SEC butt rankings. This is the most SEC butt ranking season I can recall because, like, Bama floats above it all, whereas everyone else is just huge, big, circular morass of transitive slop. A&M, you're kind of exempt, I think, but everyone else.
Are they?
No, not for long.
Sure.
That almost beat Clemson and then gave Bama its best game all year,
and barely beat Arkansas.
Yeah, no, they're gonna have.
Keyword beat. Listen. I think we're operating on two different standards here. You're talking about is this team great or not? I'm talking about is this team SEC?
That's fine. By your standards, then Florida is not SEC. Yes. Are you comfortable with that?
To Jason's point, we are talking about awarding style points to a team that's coached by Jimbo. I got to side with Jason on this one.
Yeah. Can I also point out this? I mean,
you got that much money, you got style. You can pay somebody to
figure
out.
That's a hell
of a
bell cab.
Yeah.
I disagree with Spencer, though, that this was the most, oh my God, all of the blood game of Blood Week.
By far, especially in terms of how it happened. It wasn't like they caught a couple of lucky breaks. No, LSU just knocked the teeth out.
But I don't think this was the most like what the shit just happened. No, I think the bloodiest game of Blood Week was Iowa State 30, West Virginia 14.
I don't want to overstate this, and I don't think I can.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State reduced them to a nullity.
West Virginia ran like 9 plays.
Yeah, no, West Virginia was averaging like around 60 plays somewhere in there total for the year.
Yeah.
They ran 42 plays.
It was deeply unnerving.
That's all they got.
And 7 of them were sacks.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to get 7 sacks when the other team only runs 42 plays?
By and bulk.
That's a sack on every 6 plays.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you want to know the team that did the like perfect game plan, executed it perfectly, and did not stop the entire game, did not waver as an underdog, right? Malcolm Gladwell, kiss my ass. This is the proper way to underdog it. Iowa State had 25 first downs and held the ball for almost 40 minutes. I mean, they did not let West Virginia participate in this game. They had 500 yards of offense.
Not to brag on my own predictive abilities, but I did tell you that clean water would be Dana's undoing.
Ames got pretty good water.
Spencer laughed at both of us when we said that Iowa State could win this game. He said we were wrong.
Yeah. I did. Did I put a bet on it?
No, you didn't.
No. Maybe next time you should do that.
I think for years we got then I'll owe you chicken. Overly let down by the Ames thing. And over the past 2 years,
like,
guess what we found?
Every...
It was real all along.
Yeah,
it comes around just no. That's the regularity of this meme is astonishing. Like it comes around just often enough for people who want to prop it up to be like, see.
Yeah, it is also, by the way, usually games like this happen when there are turnovers.
Nope.
Each team had one.
West Virginia had one offensive touchdown in this game. The other one was a blocked field goal that they ran back. That's their other. That's how they got to 14. That offensive touchdown.
Absolutely maddening to watch.
That offensive touchdown was in the first quarter. And after that, they never crossed their own 40 for the rest of the game. Not once.
It was like watching this team, like, not being pressed to death under a pile of stones, but, like, just covered with a giant beanbag chair that covered the entire team. It's not that heavy, but you're not going anywhere.
Go back and watch Dana Holgerson's face on the sidelines during this game, and you know what he looked, what he would have looked like in marriage counseling. That absolutely would have been the face he was making.
Wow. I'm not even getting on the field. She's got points. I don't.
Yeah. I think with this game, it's easy to look at it like, okay, West Virginia was kind of just, they kind of just driftwooded their way into the top 10. Like, we all knew this wasn't like a playoff team. Sure, they could win 10 games. They still could, but I don't know. To have a blood week, you need a couple teams like this. I mean, last year we had Washington State going down, and that was like, oh my God, what a shocker. You know, like, at the end of the year, we're going to
look back at this. Yeah, but they only had 152 offensive yards. Like, this was an extremely un-West. If you told me West Virginia had 400 yards but threw a bunch of picks or had a bunch of fumbles and that's how they lost, I'd 100% believe you. To only get 152 yards and one touchdown from the offense? My God.
I mean, I would have expected maybe you lose a shootout, right?
Sure. I would have bought that too.
They didn't let West Virginia hold a gun. That's how this, like, there's just no,
right, yeah,
no, you don't that, get that's to what participate. I
was working my way around to. It wasn't the name West Virginia that lost. It was how this West Virginia team, which to this point had never trailed at any point in any game. Like, this is the most cruisingest team in the country outside of Alabama. They found themselves thrown in a damn cellar with, as Spencer said, you know, a team that had just been through crap, had to play Iowa. For crying out loud. I
hated this game so much.
Yeah, no. I hated it. Yeah, Iowa State's already had a hard, bad year. All of a sudden, here comes West Virginia like, hey, I'm the cool kid. I'm going to take your money. I'm going to take your lunch money. And Iowa State's like, not today, motherfucker. Yeah.
Iowa State went all Bobby Hill.
Iowa State, yeah.
Iowa State said, that's my purse.
I don't know you.
Like the Boggle Championship where Peggy turns out acquaintanceship.
Yeah.
It's an underrated Peggy scene.
Yeah, no, this was shocking.
How much blood did we get from Oregon Washington? What contribution level are we looking at there?
A fair bit. I think it's not like, holy shit, I can't believe that happened, but it's a nice gush of warm, hateful blood.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this was only a 3-point spread. It was a rivalry game. Washington was a little banged up. Washington had some weird Pac-12 travel thing that I think we talked about 8 times over the course of the last 9 months. Maybe the Pac-12 could have listened to our podcast and tuned that schedule up a little bit because we pointed this out for you. But whoops, there goes your best playoff hope. Anyway, I mean, I don't think this was a shocker. The on the field, the only thing was Oregon plays like Washington now. Like Washington, you're a little we shut down the spread teams because we're big and tough, you know, trying to be like Stanford North. Well, guess what? Oregon just co-opted that brand.
Yeah, I don't
yell about it. Nobody's gonna hear you.
Yeah, I don't really think this wasn't too shocking. It does sort of again set back Washington's endless dominance protocol that seemed to be in place, particularly against Oregon. I think most people expected that rivalry to slide the other way for a real long time. And as long as Oregon's as stout up front offensively as they have been, and as long as Justin Herbert can throw a ball somewhere in the neighborhood of 98 miles an hour directly into the hands of a streaking receiver, because Justin Herbert can wing it. Like, in terms of dudes who throw real, 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 real hard, and on a line, he can put it 35 yards on a rope. It's terrifying and awesome. So I don't think there's that much blood. I think there is no surprise to this one. There's no surprise when you hear it. It's just that it's appalling that it keeps happening, right? A danger to the public safety. A menace to all that is orderly. And the antidote to death itself that you realize why death is so natural and probably shouldn't ever not exist. Michigan State football. Michigan State. Why? How?
Sure, yeah.
Why is...
I mean, when you say Mark D'Antonio was a 2-touchdown underdog to a top 10 team, you say, well, condolences to that top 10 team.
Weird. So surely Michigan State will look overpowering in doing it. No, they're going to look awful. No. They'll look bad.
No, they'll...
you'll wonder why they're doing anything they're doing. Surely a dominant run game will hold them down while you use the defense to cudgel them into submit. Nope.
No, thank you.
Nope. That's not going to happen either. Because Brian Lewerke, what are you going to do? I'm going to take, pardon me, trash-ass Brian Lewerke. Just another Michigan State quarterback who you're like, what is that? Why? Why? How?
Michigan State is like if MacGyver only made bombs, even though he didn't need them.
No, they're quarterbacks.
I think it's like if MacGyver only had bombs to work with. Like, MacGyver, you got to fix this refrigerator. I got just the thing.
Michigan State is my bag of bombs. With remote mines only.
You just got to turn the corner and hope they run
Which
into it first.
Actually makes perfect sense since they have executed successfully that defense where you just lie down in the end zone.
Yeah, they've done it. Yeah, it does. Brian Lewerke, does he throw 52 times in this game? Yeah. So surely he's completing them at a rapid, efficient sort of pace. No, he only had 24 completions. And he only averaged 5 yards a carry. It was just like popcorn, just picking handfuls of popcorn and throwing them against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Popped or unpopped?
This is
popcorn.
Slappers only.
Yeah. Did they hold Penn State to a minimal amount of yardage on the ground? No, man, Penn State still had 200 yards rushing.
You know you're in trouble when Michigan State's like, I have this new Amontillado I think you'll enjoy if you'll just step in right here, please.
What?
Oh, no! How did I fall for this again?
Mark D'Antonio roomed you.
What is it with you people in casks?
Yeah. I mean, Michigan State, all you need to know is this. They had 25 first downs, but they were only 5 for 20 on third down.
Jesus.
Just stop. Stop making numbers. Don't print box scores for Michigan State games.
Is Michigan State the thing where, like, based on their physics, Bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That means like Kirk Cameron is going to come up to you and say, this is proof of creation. Michigan State is the checkmate.
And it's true. Brian Lewerke can't peel a banana.
I mean, I've seen him play Notre Dame, so.
I don't understand it. Excellent. I don't really want to understand it, okay? You know, when they're like, well, man, how did a woolly mammoth ever exist? It was so massive. It just does. It just does. And you know what?
Like Michigan State is Megalodon.
Yeah. And like Megalodon, you think he's extinct. Bam! Back from the dead in like 7 years.
He just pooped on your house.
Yeah, that's exactly what because I thought, oh man, I could just write off Michigan State, right? Because you know they're kind of underwhelming this year, right?
Nope.
Already sort of
now Penn State has a transitive loss to Herm Edwards.
God is generous.
Why don't you try that on, James Franklin? How's it feel? Ooh, it feels
bad,
doesn't it?
Did y'all watch this? Because I would have loved to watch his facial transmogrifications on
no,
the sideline.
No, I didn't even realize what was happening until I checked Twitter late.
No,
and I was like, oh,
did
no.
I saw this for the first time in the box scores.
No, you got, Northwestern. Northwestern beat you. 29-19.
If it's any consolation, it's a very good school.
It's an excellent school, just ask. So I thought it was over for Michigan State. But no! Hand from the morgue door, right? Like, let's just put this one in the cooler. Ah! It's back.
It's back and it wants Bush Ultra.
Can I jump to the Blood Week game that I think had the funniest ending?
Yes.
Okay. So Miami struggling with Virginia all night, but Virginia has not put a ton of points on the board. And Miami scores a touchdown with like 3 minutes left or so to cut it to a 3-point game. they attempt, there's also roughing the kicker on their point after attempt, which they make. So they have the ball up by the 50. They go for an onside kick. They are unsuccessful, and they actually allow Virginia to run it back quite a bit. But they still have timeouts. There's still time left in the game. And again, it's only a 3-point game. So on 3rd and 3, around the 20-yard line, they get a stop. Virginia only gets a 1-yard gain. Until a Miami player comes in from nowhere and just blindsides the fuck out of some unsuspecting who for the stupidest fucking personal foul you'll ever see to allow the drive to continue. But it's still not over, because UVA ends up with about 30 seconds left and the clock stopped, kicking a field goal to now go up by 6. Wrong. There's roughing the kicker on this as well, which the refs initially are like, okay, that'll be enforced on the kickoff, until Bronco Mendenhall's like, pretty sure that's an automatic first down and we can just kneel and end the game, which they do. And they cut to Mark Richt, who just like in his perfect, most balanced, I walk with the Lord and no man can hurt me way, just like quietly takes off his headset and starts walking off the field stone faced. It was amazing. Miami fucked up 2 opportunities to get the ball back and at least have some prayer of beating UVA.
Listen, I don't care what conference you're playing in now. I don't care if you used to be, you know, I don't care what the Canes history is. Nobody pulls Bronco Mendenhall's own dirty tricks on Bronco. You can't dirty hit the man who made BYU the king of cheap shot football. You cannot.
I don't know. I think Miami was just dancing with the one that brought him, man. Like, if the Canes can't win with stupid penalties, then they got to lose with stupid penalties.
That's a great point.
I think they should give those kids the penalty chalice.
Yeah, also, Florida fans on this podcast, how did y'all let this kid get away?
I don't know, but
sounds
we got
like the second coming of Matt Elam.
Well, we have Voshon Joseph. And
I like him a lot.
If you did not see, Voshon Joseph, for no reason whatsoever at the end of a play, decided to take a running back in his grasp. And I think it was a strike suplex that he pulled on him.
It was beautiful.
It was sudden and snappy, too. Like, it looked like he had gone through, you know, Ric Flair's training camp.
The only thing that could have made that better is if it was a running back on his own team.
He would have done it.
I know.
The best part is, Voshon,
until then, he will never pass Matt Elam.
No, but Voshon Joseph did that, and then he got kicked out later when the entire team was assessed an unsportsmanlike penalty. So he had to go because he had 2. That's still not as good as getting kicked out on a kneel down play or costing your team the game on an insanely stupid hit in Charlottesville, where, believe me, the universe wants you to win that game.
Life's funny.
You have to try very hard to lose a game against UVA ever. And yet, they did it. I'm so proud of both Florida and Miami, because if you're committing unsportsmanlike penalties, that's greatness. That's how I know you're great.
My favorite thing about this Miami game was all the Georgia fans who were like, oh, see, yeah, this is Mark Richt. He's pulling a Mark Richt. Typical. Typical Mark Richt game. It's like, did you not? Your team was an 8-point favorite and lost by 20. Kirby Smart is the name of the coach who did that. Did you not?
He's not Mark Richt, so it can't be a Mark Richt game. That's easy.
Do we not remember how this calendar year started? Did you cough up a 10-0 lead? Was it Mark Richt to blame for that? I'm not.
Listen, buddy, I went to Georgia. I got an excellent verbal score on the SAT. Don't ask me about my math score.
I mean, I realize I'm a fan of the highest ranked Division I football team in the state of Georgia, so I'm trying not to condescend. But
no, you're not. No, you're not.
We all just get our joys where we can. I guess short memories.
Can we get an update from Planconia? By the way,
we smashed the shit out of somebody else, man. Gardner Webb, get these bums out of here. And I say that not in a sense of get us better competition. No, keep them coming. No. Bring us more bums. Bring us the worst garbage team you can find.
Get these bums out of here because there are more in line. And we want to move through the queue.
Too many bums.
The bum supply store just down the street got a new shipment in, and we will take them all.
The bum supply store called, and they got more bums.
Can I jump back all the way to Thursday real briefly, because we got a good reader submission that I'd like to bring up?
Oh, yeah.
Weird game.
So Texas Tech beat TCU, and therefore Texas Tech is an okay, if not good, team. And TCU, you're a bad team now. I'm sorry about that, but this was the second fewest points any Big 12 opponent has scored on Cliff Kingsbury's Texas Tech team. Spoiler, you're also the first, the time you only scored 10 on them in 2013. But Chase emailed us to say, to remind me, because I didn't watch this game, that at one point, while they were trailing, Texas Tech had a first and 10 on the TCU 13. A false start, an offensive pass interference, and a sack later, they wound up back at the 36 and punting because it was 4th and 33. That's impressive, to go from 1st and 10 on the 13 to punting. Hard to do.
Also, they showed, during the broadcast, they showed Gary Patterson's pool in Fort Worth. It's within walking distance of the office. You can see the stadium from his backyard.
To be clear, a swimming pool, not just a body of water that surrounds Gary Patterson at all times.
No, that's different and real. But they showed his pool, and the lights in both the hot tub and the pool, they're purple. Has Gary Patterson been naked in that hot tub? Oh, yeah.
It's a hot tub.
That's in your brain now. Yeah. It'll be there forever.
Somehow both naked and simultaneously wearing one of those old-timey bathing suits with the straps all the way up.
No, naked. You forget about that. I don't want to give up.
So are you saying one of those that's like cut off
in yes, a specific correct.
Location?
Correct. Okay. The chap's version of that.
Wow, that's the weirdest garment I've ever heard of.
No. He was shirt cocking it. That's what he was doing. Just a tank top, no pants.
But changing the shirt every half of football.
There was a word for that.
Yeah, that's shirt cocking. It's something that people at Burning Man do because Burning Man's awful.
He gets in the pool in a black shirt and is like, oh, the swimming isn't working. So then he puts on his purple shirt, but still wearing no trunks.
The Blood Week result I can tell you nothing about because I did not bother. USC beat Colorado by 11. Anybody? Anything?
Yeah, nothing shocking there. Yeah. I mean, USC was favored and they looked like the better team.
Yeah,
Mike
also
McIntyre makes some weird faces.
Yeah,
also, we'll still count it because it was a ranked team going down, undefeated team going down. But
something's kind of up with that though, because Montez looked a little like they didn't throw downfield a lot, so I don't know if he's injured. Also, USC would just do this thing like in case you go, man, USC's got things fixed. No, they don't. They were actually just throwing the ball downfield to taller guys. That was it. When they faced somebody who can defend those taller guys, they were right back to being USC. Okay, because the announcers were thinking, oh man, JT Daniels has turned this around. USC's back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give it a week.
I am glad that we've given up on ranking them for no reason.
Yeah. That's
Wait,
good.
Shit, are they ranked again after they beat Colorado?
I was going to say, give it time.
Yeah. They'll be back up. You know, fine. Texas top 10, USC top 15 for no reason. That's what we're about to get. I would also really enjoy pointing this out that who got old man this week? Who ran into one of college football's oldest and most Oklahoma. Cursed events?
Auburn?
Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State. Yeah, they're 4-3.
Real bad.
They're 1-3 of the Big 12 at this point because they got old manned. They got beaten 31-12 by Bill Snyder and the Kansas State Wildcats.
God, what an old man scored, too.
Maybe Bill Snyder can take the Oklahoma State job when he gets fired from Kansas State.
This is a score from before we had the forward pass, and the ball was made out of old beef hunks.
Yeah, this is a Bill Snyder special, by the way.
You get a point every time you can recite scripture correctly all the way through. That's how the rules used to be, and that's how we're playing now.
Yeah, their leading rusher was Taylor Cornelius, Oklahoma State. That's their quarterback.
That's the oldest name in the world.
Taylor Cornelius!
Taylor Cornelius lost in expedition!
Well, he's playing like 100.
I just wish it was Cornelius Taylor.
Well, that's how you know he's a potential Georgia quarterback, right? Taylor Cornelius, Cornelius Taylor.
Oh, do they need one?
You know, they might.
No, they have one. They have one. He's on the bench.
They do have one. He doesn't play much. His position name is Wildcat. For some
reason. I enjoy, by the way, that George is definitely not going to have any sort of issues with a quarterback controversy this year. Nope. Not one. Definitely not one where your quarterback's averaging like 5 yards at the completion in big games.
I mean, Spencer, be fair. Have you ever seen a Georgia game where a quarterback comes in halftime and turns things around? That sounds far-fetched.
You know there's a qualifier you have to add to make that work. Has to be the other
Okay.
It has to be Bama, because you know Bama can just do that. They can just say, "Oh man, the mining business is getting kind of bad. Too cool, we're an internet company now at halftime."
Speaking of Bama, I like that at one point during Blood Week Saturday, the highest drama was like Tua slid kind of weird.
Oh no, we'll have to put on our national championship winning quarterback.
I know, it's like, oh, you know, everyone breathes a sigh of relief. I'm like, oh, now all you have to do is beat Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen came in already with, like, you know, a reception and a couple carries and a throw or two on the day. And, like, I hadn't checked this in a week or two, but, you know, three times as many passing touchdowns as Rutgers on the year. And, yeah, just bring in. Is he the most, like, most experienced and tested quarterback in the whole country? See if he can finish it out against Mizzou.
I think he can wrap it up against, you know, kind of a middling Big 12 team. He's got this.
At this point, middling is good for a Big 12 team.
You mentioned Rutgers. I want to talk about.
Nobody mentioned Rutgers.
Technically, that was my fault.
Yep. It was. He did. Yep. Yeah. Counselor, check the right.
I spoke the name.
I watched this game with some friends who are Rutgers fans. I know what I just said. I know what I just said. I watched the entire second half of this game with them.
With who?
With friends of mine who went to and are fans of Rutgers.
So, like, it's a real school?
Yes. It's not a pyramid scheme. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that. But, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Both things can be true.
That's true.
So, let me, after having seen Nathan Peterman play in another NFL game today, albeit briefly. He lasted about a Peterman, you know, eight passes, two picks.
Go balls.
This was the line for Rutgers quarterback Archer Sitkowski. 2 for 16 for 8 yards, no TDs, and 4 interceptions.
So then he got benched for
Giovanni Rossigno.
But things got better, right?
Who went 0-for-1 with one pick.
Yeah.
Matt Brown, one of the several Matt Browns on College Football Internet, looked up, like, the worst passing days in college football history.
Yeah.
And do you know the last team to complete 2 passes while throwing at least 17 times in a game?
Kentucky?
Rutgers.
Cornell. Rutgers. Damn.
It was Rutgers in that game against Michigan. The last team to pass for fewer than 10 yards despite throwing at least a dozen times. Also Rutgers.
They
completed more passes to Maryland than they did to Rutgers. Like, it's just insane.
And not even like, oh, slightly more. Like, almost three times as many.
Yeah. And then we followed this up. Alex Kirshner did a post on how, like, this shit is happening every week. Like, Rutgers is somehow getting, like, they started as the saddest Power 5 in the country, and it's gotten worse. Like, a week ago, they had a blackout against Illinois while getting their asses kicked by Illinois, which, that sounds impossible. And they had, like, 9 fans in the stands, and then they had this. And they got killed by Kansas and Buffalo before that.
If it's performance art on the futility of man, it's exquisite.
Now, I would point out
like, Rutgers keeps finding new floors, and I respect it.
They do. It's astonishing that they are basically.
There's a crawl space under the crawl space.
We'll find the moles that
hey,
live
guys,
under the moles.
This basement has a septic tank underneath it.
You go down like 4 crawl spaces, and you got a stand space.
I would point out that this is the remainder of their schedule.
Does it matter? Does it matter the teams you're about to say? Just real quickly.
Yeah, because it gets worse.
Okay.
It does. Because when we say, I don't know, man, could it get worse? Yeah, dog, it could get worse. Rutgers plays Northwestern next week. Then they host Wisconsin. Then this is their finish. At Michigan, at Penn State, hosting Michigan State.
Oof.
Yeah, this could be one of the worst football teams I've ever seen.
What if they just didn't?
Or just didn't show?
What if they just didn't? Yeah.
What if UConn and Rutgers met to decide who is 130th in FBS?
God, think of that traveling trophy.
It'd just be a knife. It would be a knife, but with a guard so you couldn't use it on yourself. You're like, why? It's so dull. I'll be alive.
It's for the battle for the golden confiscated shoelaces.
I'll be alive so long at this rate. But yeah, this was to a point. I didn't just want to pile on the misery of Rutgers. It feels good though, but wasn't the point. A weird stat that ESPN kind of made up in QBR, right? Guess who had a lower QBR than Artur on Saturday? That'd be Alex Hornibrook.
I was going to guess Joe Burrow.
No. It'd be weird if Joe Burrow had like the highest QBR of anyone who played Saturday.
This is a little suspicious. So.
Yeah. How does this work? I don't know, but he's balling like crazy on it. Alex Hornibrook. Somehow, I think Arthur's was a 1.1 QBR rating. Using this admittedly weird flawed stat, Wisconsin's Alex Hornibrook had a 0.7. He was 7 for 20 for 100 yards and had one TD and two interceptions. And that was it. It's not even like his numbers were that different in terms of overall yardage. And he actually threw a TD, which Shea Patterson did not. And that didn't matter. Michigan still wiped the floor with Wisconsin. And I watched about half this game, and I'll admit, I have to go back out and figure how it happened, because I'm still not sure how.
Would you like a partial answer?
Other than 300-plus yards rushing for Michigan, yeah.
Wisconsin punted on 4th and 2 in like situations where they shouldn't have done that multiple times, including 4th and 2 from the Michigan 42, down 14 in the second half. And 4th and 2 from their own 38. At that point, down 24. What are you doing?
Punting.
Sorry, you're right. It was a stupid question in retrospect.
Yeah, in the words of Paul Chryst, looking in the mirror, fuck that guy. Because that's some cowardly punting.
This was the least blood week game of blood week.
It was a different kind of bloody.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
who expected Michigan to make Wisconsin look like Nebraska?
That's hurtful.
Which Nebraska?
What did they play in the stadium after the game? Jump around.
They play jump around.
Yeah. This isn't my.
Do you think Michigan fans were jumping?
No.
Was that a frivolous activity?
No, they were going structurally. I don't know if that's a good idea. We haven't really tested it for this, have we? We need to run this by the engineers.
They were jangling keys for the usher.
Yeah.
They have a special code to summon them.
In terms of other stadium music mysteries, Neck was played at LSU. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember Alabama, they did get Dixieland Delight back, and for the most part, people behaved well. And
that's not what happened.
That's what happened.
They piped in Respect Auburn!
Yeah.
Did they actually pipe in Respect Auburn?
Wait, really?
They piped in Beat Auburn.
Beat Auburn. Because if you'd said Respect Auburn, I actually might have believed it.
That's like the most Rick Muscles Twitter thing I've ever heard.
Shit Mark Rick would do.
It would have been better if they had just piped in, Auburn just lost to Tennessee.
Roll Tide!
As a 14-point favorite.
Now back to the song about humping in a truck.
In East Tennessee.